La fleur de la solitude. Épisode 11. Les lettres roses. Pink letters. It smells nice, doesn't it? My first association with wild roses is my mom. When I was a kid, her garden was full of roses. Roses offer a perfect description of human relationships, especially the intimate, loving ones. They show us the beauty of life. But to truly embrace it, we must be ready to hold their thorns and endure a bit of pain. Understanding love fully requires us to navigate through its obstacles. I intended the scent of the rose to leave the first impression of our last contact. I hoped these rose petals might soften the fall a bit, as I know you were deeply affected when you entered the apartment. It's natural, and I would have felt the same. Cherelle, mon ami sincère. Mon âme sœur, I understand that you might be confused and upset, but please don't be angry with us, at least at Monique, because all of this was my idea, and I take all the responsibility for the consequences that might arise from my actions. I will understand if you decide to forget me completely after this. Please trust me, it's for the best. For both of us. And try to read the whole letter. It contains all the answers you need. I also felt that our art therapy experiment didn't conclude in a proper way. So I envisioned pink as our final color. If the light pink, reminiscent of a child's skin, fades, it can easily transition to white. If we consider our initial three introductory sessions before the formal ones that begin with yellow, we've completed a full circle. Le cercle fermé. I'm uncertain if I've achieved a balance in the gray spectrum of my emotions, but I've traversed the entire spectrum and now perceive brighter colors. The black shade remains, but it's no longer dominant. Hence, as per your art therapy, pink should assist me in ensuring my words retain their gentleness. Probably I will never find out the whole story of this piano. Of this piano that was buried under your plans. But at least I got this one chance to play it. Hope you won't mind. It sounds beautiful. but still it should be tweaked a bit. Especially if you plan to sell it. As I played it after a long time, I realized how much I miss playing the piano. It felt as if I don't exist without it, as I'm nothing without my music. Just as oil is the essence of the plants, that's how my music seems to be the essence of me. By now, I will have already left. I have to leave. Although my heart wished to stay longer, maybe even find an apartment and continue living here, I eventually dropped that idea. My mind had pretty good arguments. And the recurrence of my swollen knee didn't support the optimism of my heart. Though its pulse coursing through every cell of my body, Paris is still painfully overwhelming for me. Eventually, this lovely planet became too lonely for me. It nurtured me from ashes, and that is an experience I will forever cherish. But prolonging my stay is not contributing to my personal growth right now. Returning after months evoked both excitement and sadness within me. I was concerned about your health. I wanted to see you, to see Paris and wander its streets again, reconnect with your friends, reignite hope again. Yes, these were my aspirations. Yet, it also served me as a reminder of the immense effort I invested to reach where I am today. Emotionally, mentally, and physically. To conclude in the beginning, I can't deny that I did well. I had to. For otherwise, I might have faded away. Disappeared into the void. My creativity became my lifeline. It turned into my breath, my means of survival. But in the midst of survival, how can one foster growth? I mean, of course it's possible. Some of the finest artworks and innovative solutions arose during severe economic downturns. The Great Depression, times of poverty, wars, pain, and depression. However, when a person is consumed by meeting their basic needs, there's little room or time for significant personal evolution. Thanks to having free time and my basic needs met, I came to Paris to pursue what I love and to delve deeper into self-discovery. If I were grappling with existential survival, Paris might have existed only in my dreams. What I wanted to say is that my job became my crutch, an excuse for doing art in my free time. I became addicted to my creativity, to my healing process, to my work, and eventually to my solitude. I don't say that's bad, because I don't know if it is. But I feel that I can't continue like this indefinitely. I do what I love the most. But if I consume my favorite food every day, I could quickly grow disgusted. And I don't want that. We discussed the special position of an artist in the world, how some of us are deeply sensitive and wounded, and that creating is a means of survival. However, we cannot solely reside in our little towns, Lala Solo lands, our fantasy worlds, and keep tending to our wounds. That can't be the sole purpose of an artist's mission on this planet. At some point, we need to move on, right? We delve into our depths, but then must resurface and share our stories as we search for understanding. But if we are overwhelmed, we cannot convey it, and no one will benefit from our painful inner mysteries. And I need a break from that. I need a break from myself in that state. This is how I see my energy changing. Otherwise, being alone becomes dangerous and addicting, as mentioned. Once one experiences how painful it is, one may not want to deal with people anymore. However, that, on the other hand, can be very self-destructive. I've encountered that side of me, and I don't want it to resurface. However, with how I currently feel, it seems like it's on the horizon. I need to find, as most people say, a normal job aside from acting. I still don't know how I will handle that part of myself. No opportunities seem to be arising, so it appears it's still not my time. And then again, I still don't feel the need to act. Therefore, when I return home, working in a kitchen at a nice restaurant would be a refreshing change. It would divert me from my complicated stories, and I could learn some useful skills. L. I flopped. I didn't succeed. I didn't complete the last song. It just didn't come together. It's a strange sensation, failing after investing such an enormous amount of energy. However, I'm still here. I survived. I don't mean to sound unappreciative, but the plan was different. Maybe failed isn't the most accurate word. I did manage to create 11 out of 12 songs. Objectively, a commendable result, right? But I guess that's just my unsupportive brain saying, "Hi, I'm still here." So, there's still plenty of work to do. Although, I recognized the pattern quickly. I suppose I've made a progress. At one point, I thought I could complete the album with just 11 songs. But something felt incomplete. The final song, the song Huge, The Key, is merely one of the keys, but not the pivotal one, not the one that completes the circle. The essential key was supposed to be that 12th and final song that explains, summarizes everything, so the message would be crystal clear. It was meant to serve as both the beginning and the end of my story. Oh, pardon. Our story. Notre histoire. It was meant to depict a personal, yet universally relatable journey towards authenticity. What I must also admit is my full dedication. I attempted every possible approach, in words, in notes. I was patient, open, gentle, strong, flexible, hopeful. I tried in every way imaginable. It just didn't work out as planned. But I did my best. Finally, I realized that I have to let it go. Just as I did when I stopped forcing myself to learn French. I let it go. I couldn't manage everything at once. And after I let go, I felt relieved. I believe I also improved in this lesson of yours, knowing the difference between trying hard and letting go. Trying hard and letting go? Maybe I was supposed to quit earlier, but then again, I wouldn't have gained all this experience today, and the other lessons that came with it. Also, I didn't want to be someone who quits easily. That's not me. Nope. So I took enough time to ensure I gave it my all. And because of all that, now I know that I did my best. I don't regret anything. And I would repeat it all over again if I had to. But I don't have to. I read somewhere that a man is the only animal that doesn't learn by repeating. And that's really true. Sometimes it seems as if we love suffering more than anything. Or that we're pretty stubborn. I include myself in that too. I didn't create 12 songs, but I'm proud of how I navigated through all of this. I had some rules that I followed, but I also allowed myself to disregard them when I listened to my inner voice, my intuition. And that was also one of the goals of this journey. Songs will be written again, but to merge with our true voice doesn't happen easily for everyone. So if I adopt that perspective, I did it. I succeeded. And you were right, again. It's truly a matter of perspective. It was a long process, but thanks to your mentorship, I forgave myself for all the mistakes and omissions I made. I realize how much I enjoy the process when I'm not attached to the result. And how I managed to be gentle towards myself from time to time. Besides intuition, I gained some tools that I will use for a lifetime. I discovered that I can always forgive myself if my intention is benevolent. As I delve deeper before making a decision, it's less likely that I'll eventually regret something in the future, whether it's something I did, said, or missed. Now that I know myself better, and that I'm learning to accept my flaws, I judge less. Both others and oneself. Yet, my tenant, guilt, hasn't disappeared. It's still here, hiding somewhere under my skin. Whenever I think it's gone, voila, it unexpectedly arises. That's something I need to resolve on my own, in some other chapters of my life. Sometimes I find no reason for it, as if it's not even mine, but someone else's thrown at me, as if some transgenerational trauma follows me wherever I go. Well, this chapter is now closed, and I have to step forward from it. Or I missed the whole point. Maybe I'll find out when I come back home. How funny. Whenever I was about to travel, I always wondered how it would be when I come back home. How much would I change, grow? How much would I be reshaped by new cultures, environments, experiences? Yeah. I always envisioned myself returning home happier, smarter, wiser, even before Paris. And today, I'm returning home again. But honestly, I'm not sure about all these descriptive adjectives. More fitting ones would be dull, lost, empty. Empty like your apartment where you're probably standing and reading this letter now. Yes, we did it. Monique and I removed all the plants during your hospital stay. But it was my idea, so please don't blame her. I thought it would be best. The apartment should be white, safe, and eerie by now. Don't worry. Your plants are in a safe place. Monique took care of everything. She's truly one of a kind. We all need a new start. A blank piece of paper where we can write our new story. Well, mine will have to wait for some time. You taught me that the cure for pain is in the pain itself, and that shame fades when stories are shared in safe spaces. We are not completely alive until we are loved. I will never be able to express how grateful I am for your presence in my life. You listened to me like no one else did. You loved me like no one else did. You brought me back to life. And that's where I gained the most. You are my safe place. And now I need to leave it behind. Move on. I have to let it go. Just as I've been left behind many times before. I know how that goes. From the other perspective. Today I don't call it abandonment anymore, but a hidden blessing. How would I have become who I am if I hadn't been left alone? To meet myself as my best company. My walls don't protect me anymore. They isolate me. I need to live among people. The real me, my true authentic self, to give myself a fresh start without fear of being hurt. I'm stronger now. I am. I'm ready now. I don't see myself or define myself by my achievements anymore. You were right. I was afraid of success, but also of failures. Now, with a major failure behind me, and having survived it, I can say that I've experienced both. Multiple times. I don't compare myself anymore. And that's my greatest achievement. Not everything, but many things that were given to me were taken away. So at least once, I want to be the one who decides when something is finished. And to feel good about it. This might sound selfish, but someone has to take responsibility. If it were up to you, you would never do it. For instance, you would never leave. So I have to do it. As I said, I became addicted to my art. I became addicted to you. You are my art, a part of it. Or my art is a part of you. Doesn't matter now. But you are my best friend too. And that's also the most difficult thing of all. I created my best friend. But I don't know why that happened. Because I have friends. Really, I have really good friends. But somehow you became better than them. And you're not even my age. I know that you didn't ask for it. But there you are. You became too present in my life. So present that when I don't write about you, I think of you. And you're not even some guy that I'm in love with. It just seems that you are everywhere, all the time. Honestly, I tried to stop us, to end all of this, to erase you, to get rid of you several times, but you didn't want to leave. Quitting therapy, going to public spaces with you, power outages, some soil poisoning from Australia. But it seems that you are indestructible. As much as I wanted to shorten this story, it wasn't happening. You kept delivering ideas and inspiring me nonstop. As a deeper, larger, wiser part of me, you took me to places I've never been before. But I have to admit, I expected more from you. So many pages, so much time. Yet traces of incompleteness still linger in me. I still fluctuate between feeling insufficient and being too much. Wasn't our initial goal to eliminate my imposter syndrome from my everyday life? Anyway, that doesn't matter anymore, right? My new mantra is pretty helpful for now. Do the best you can until you know better. Then, when you know better, you will do better. No need for perfection, for now. Yeah. Oh, well. Look, you haven't done anything wrong. You never failed me. And if in some small, tiny case you think you did, here you have written proof that I forgive you. I apologize for all the pain I caused you. It will never happen again. I know that you also did your best. Will you forgive me for saying goodbye forever? That's another story that obviously I will not be writing. Who knows? Maybe you will. In your own language. I would like to use this final part of the paper to express my deepest gratitude to you. You have given me the most precious gift, the teachings of the most important and challenging language, the language of patience and kindness that unites us all, the language that does not envy or boast, that does not dishonor others and is not self-seeking, the language that's not easily angered, that keeps no record of wrongs, does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth, the language that always protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres, and never fails. Thank you for the language of love. Forever, you will be missed. Je t'aime toujours. Frida Nera, Immortal. P.S. The mediator between the mind and the hands is the heart. Great recommendation. Merci.
Mon chéri.
Сияни крила твоих изгуби се сваки страх.
It would mean a lot to me if you could open my email as you read this letter.
Очи чую яснее, кад привию се узмрак.
It will color my words with a different sound. Thank you for all these surprises. They speak volumes about you. But also about my expectations. Honestly, life has prepared me for everything, but not quite for this. On the other end, I have to say, a quite nice cut. Unfortunately, in life, it doesn't just happen like that. Every cut, move, or a word has consequences. No matter how much courage and determination we have for new decisions, our action is only one side. Future events also depend on the reactions of others. I noticed that you've made a fair assessment of your successes and failures, so you can already conclude that this time, for instance, you didn't succeed with the last farewell with Immortel. What can I say? It's simply impossible. You can't just get rid of me like that. I am impossible to kill. I'm sorry. You predetermined that with my name itself. The next time you dig into your past and your inner self, my advice to you is please to set some limits. And use names as Mortalia, Finita, Fadette, Florette, comme ça. You took my life completely into your hands. And now, you don't want to play with it anymore. No, s'il te plaît. No. I understand you. I am not for everyone. I'm too complex, layered, profound. Not everyone can be a friend with me. Only those who see their purpose in me. Actually, the only purpose, everything else is meaningless. I know this might sound like heavy narcissism, but considering that we already know each other well, and I don't want to drag this on, to your joy, I'll shorten the story a bit. Which you have to admit is a big achievement for me. But, like in all other relationships, separation doesn't go smoothly. Bref, to cut to the chase. When you embark on a journey with me, there is no turning back. You are a bit tired now, and you can't see very clearly. But when time takes its course, you'll know what to do next. As always at your crossroads. But don't worry. I don't hold anything against you. That's human after all. You've mentioned to me before how afraid you are of getting attached to me. But darling, you were born with me. You were never detached. I just followed you so imperceptibly. That you didn't notice me before. I was and will always be present. I just have manners and I don't go anywhere uninvited. And when you were left alone, you invited me to sit next to you. That's how it goes. When loneliness passes and solitude settles in, a person gathers the courage to go out a bit, take a breath, and share a coffee with someone else. But that too passes quickly. Tranquille. Just slowly, and that will come. Luckily, that scenario is pretty familiar to me. Perhaps you will be surprised by my second reaction too, when it is about my apartment. But you are right. My reaction to the empty white apartment was astounding, even for myself. Instead of anger and restlessness, I was left speechless, breathless. I had never experienced anything like it, anything like that. In the emptiness left by the plants, suddenly a new image began to reflect. A new breath. The walls were filled with new air. A new story that I had been dreading for too long. I was surprised at myself for not screaming, because someone else was controlling my life. But when I managed to catch my breath and see the beauty of a moment that would never return, and that new gifted blank page, I cried. Oh, tears of both happiness and the abandonment of my old life and habits. After a sea of tears left my eyes, a sense of relief suddenly filled me. Seeing the piano again confronted me with a past that I buried, obviously not too deep enough to forget, but not shallow enough to think about it every day. The past and conscience must be related. Oh, they are so subtle that it's easy to overlook them, yet loud enough that it's impossible not to notice them. Instead of letting go of things I love because I feel complete and moving forward in life, I've often made decisions only when I believed I could replace them with something better. I know it might not seem that way, considering my seemingly bold, youthful decision. But if you look closer, even that decision was an escape. It was necessary to face the disappointment of others, of those who put all their cards on you. In other words, I played it safe. Earlier in life, I ran away because of fear. And later in life, I ran because I believed that I might not find anything better than what I already had. So I stayed. I lingered for too long in places, in apartments, in stories, in relationships, and in times I had emotionally left long ago. My seemingly impressive youthfulness was responsible for that. I left the most beautiful things I had. And later, to prevent a repeat, I valued both what was necessary and what was not. I paid too much for empty looks, bland coffees, sweet-sounding promises, and numerous passerbys in my life. My fear of ingratitude cost me dearly. There's a subtle, yet important difference between leaving jobs, friends, and partners because we feel we are done with them, and still holding on to them out of fear of not finding anything better. This attachment may be due to the unawareness of what we are doing, or arises because we fear sailing into the uncertain waves. In any case, we might find ourselves living in a pattern we are not content with, but we've never admitted that to the people around us, not even to ourselves. Internally, we scream for change. Yet externally, we don't know how to share what we feel and to ask for help. That's how we add black to ourselves daily. Internally, it accumulates as tension, frustration, hostility, or pure absence towards others who usually don't deserve it, but were with you in those moments when suddenly that blackness bursts out. Out of seemingly nowhere. Precisely those things we've been waiting and longing for appear in our lives. When they do, we throw ourselves at them as if there's no tomorrow. I wasn't completely comfortable going to France with a stranger. Although my youthful mind saw it as a dream come true, feelings of guilt often arose that I couldn't hear as clearly as I can now. I left. And the rest of my life wondered what I had left behind. Maybe it was easier for me to imagine that than to leave my child behind. That would be a price I couldn't pay. I couldn't afford. There are voids and voids. Some are simply larger than the others. When you discover that void within you, as you mentioned, it becomes your greatest ally. And yours seems to be holding your hand. Although I still see a lack of surrender and a desire for control that might meet you at some next corner, the self-pity party is not your comfort zone anymore. And I see your confidence, which no one can question anymore. Finally, I feel calm. Because I understand that we are both, although miles apart, actually in the same place. This journey ends at the same moment for both of us. You are right. The journey was long. I can't say too long, because it lasts as long as it needs to. For everyone, it's different lengths and at different times. But in that realm, time does not exist. There's only the seemingly continuous journey known as the dark night of the soul. This is my third or fourth such phase in life. While you've gone through your first, the worst, the longest, and the darkest. Once we understand why a certain experience hurts us so much, it gains new meaning. But it opens up new questions that drive us to clean up our spaces. The purpose of the dark night of the soul is to experience and heal our greatest fears. What's a great burden to someone might not be anything special to another. Such a period in life comes when we least expect it, without warning. And the lure is what we crave the most. Something we simply cannot resist. I couldn't resist your call. And you? Haven't you yearned for life in Paris? Huh? For freedom? For authentic creative expression? For music? Haven't you wanted the opportunity to live in another country and discover parts of yourself yet to be brought into the sunlight? Ah, voilà. I haven't been afraid of loneliness for a long time. But of encountering remnants of myself in everyone I left, both the living and the deceased. And I see you've encountered the same. I almost forgot to tell you, I assumed that you dropped a piece of paper. Who else could enter my apartment and write such beautiful poetry in Croatian, right? I found it near the exit door. I'm glad that keys of my mother's piano inspired you, huh? You can't touch and hold the sound, but it holds you completely, huh? Do you know the resemblance between the music and wisdom? Both can find us where no one else can. And between the music and the woman? Nothing can touch us more gently than they can. Music should be feminine gender. Well, that's how I see the fullness of emptiness. The wealth of nothingness that connects us all. You wrote it nicely. Ja sam ništa bez tvog uja. I am nothing without your oil. Well, it seems that you succeeded after all. Finishing the 12th song. Real success is not shutting yourself down after storms, my dear flower. I'm proud of you. I assume that my musical background for your letter has already finished. How do you like it? Do my chords match, date your verses? I transcribe them here, in case you don't have them elsewhere, right? Oh, if you haven't yet set music to these new verses of yours, I'd be happy if this song was ours. you don't have to sign me, right? You don't have to sign me. I know how much it matters for your ego. pardon, I'm kidding. Who would you explain it to? It would be silly. I understand. Of course, only if you really want to do it. But I'm not sure if the world is ready for us yet. The world needs more time. I appreciate that you see me as love. It's nice to hear that. As I've mentioned before, not everyone sees me that way. Actually, mostly the opposite. They see me as the worst misfortune. A shadow that took away everything they had and disrupted their lives. Your heart guided you on your journey. And that's the difference. Its memory. Your gratitude for life has written all these pages of your journey, which now comes to an end. But once again, I love to disappoint you. You are not free. No, at least not in the way you think. You are, and always will be, attached to your life force, to your urge to create. And now that you've met me, your favorite assistant, you will forever be dependent on me too. And you'll see, those are the only addictions in this world that make sense. In the end, they give meaning to everything. Don't worry. The flower of solitude is not alone anymore. Nor ever again. Je t'embrasse très fort. À bientôt, mon âme sœur. Elle. Yes. Thank you for the gift. Although it would have been nice if there was a whole bottle of rakia, of rose grappa. But, it's okay. This way we'll see each other sooner.
Krila tvojih izgubi se svaki strah. Oči čuju jasnije kad priviju se uz mrak. Sjeni krila tvojih ojušti se svaki sram. Glasnije kad me vodiš, jer sam mal.